eternal loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable to you. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Some of you may be looking at me and think, who the heck is that and what is she doing there? Who does she think she is, Libby? Exactly. That is exactly what the readings today bring to light. Identity. Who are we? Who am I? Who are you? And finally, who does God think I am? In Jesus' words, who do you say I am? For example, I can be identified by many titles and attributes. Sister, daughter, spouse, executive director, blonde, okay, blondish. Caucasian, female, WASP. But the one that throws me the most is I am 54 years old. Some of you may be older, some younger, some even the same age, Amy. But it's the oldest I've ever been. It amazes me. I am 54 years old. But is that who I am? I always remember my favorite grandmother, Dee Dee, telling me she would look in the mirror and say, who is that old lady? Seemed kind of funny to me that there was any question about this because I was the youngest grandchild of all the families and she was probably in her 70s when she was telling me this, so I thought it was obvious she was an old lady. But she wasn't an old lady to herself. When she looked in the mirror, she expected to see the young lady she felt she was. It was as if she was asking, who do you say I am? I am not that person. In the reading from Exodus, we see the beginnings of the Moses story. And as we all know, Moses will get the shock of his life later when he finds out he isn't who he grew up thinking he was. He will discover that he was that baby in a basket sent off on the water by his mother and sister to save him from being killed by the Egyptians. Why? Because he was a Hebrew baby boy. A dangerous identity to have at that time. Though Pharaoh was saying who Moses was dangerous, who Moses was to his family was just a beloved child, so they did what they could to save him. Moses will find out he's not the compassionate, powerful son of Pharaoh's sister, entitled to all the rights and privileges that brings. He is born of Hebrew slaves. I can't get the scene from the movie The Ten Commandments out of my head when Charlton Heston's saying they're holding that piece of cloth, saying, what does a piece of Hebrew cloth have to do with me? He's asking the question of Bithia, as he seems to say, who do you say I am? I'm not that person, am I? A modern day example of something like Moses' story is a woman I know who at 49 years old was having lunch with her mother at their regular favorite lunch place, when her mother told her that the man she thought was her father really wasn't. Her real father was a former neighbor of theirs who now lived 3,000 miles away. She said to me, I almost fell off my chair. Though this was over 30 years ago, I still remember it like it was yesterday. She was asking her mother, who do you say I am? And it wasn't the person she thought she was for the first 49 years of her life. Last week, we heard the story about Joseph finally telling his brothers who he is when they are in front of him begging for food and help for their family. Though they had treated him horribly, Joseph is still overcome with emotion and weeps openly. His identity had changed several times from favorite son to despised brother to slave to honored person in Egypt. And at that moment, he was once again just one of Jacob's 12 sons. I wonder if he had asked them, who do you say I am, what their answer would be. Would they still think of him as their spoiled kind of conceited little brother? Or would they see him as the important guy in Egypt who pretty much holds their fate in his hands? Sometimes, no matter what you achieve, you still go back to your first identity like Joseph and all the emotions it brings up. Or as Deacon Elizabeth said a couple of years ago in a sermon, it's amazing how you can go from 66 years old to 6 years old in 60 seconds when you're around your family. As you follow the readings throughout the liturgical year, I think you may see, as I do, that we are often being told who we are or should be as individuals and as a community of faith. Paul always seems to be telling us this. In today's reading, he is again telling us that as a corporate body of Christ, we have many members who all may have different identities, but we who are many are one body. If we ask Paul, "Who do you say I am?" I think he's answering, "A member of the body of Christ, no better or worse than any other member. In our gospel reading, Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" In other words, what do others think? Then he drills right to the heart of the matter into their hearts and says, "But who do you say I am?" Jesus knows how important it is that we know who he is so we can know who we are to God. It makes me wonder how many of us would feel comfortable asking our friends that same question and wait for an answer. Picture having 12 of your closest friends standing around and say, "Hey guys, who do you say I am?" But Jesus knows the answer. He knows it is the role God has chosen for him, and though we see him struggle sometimes with this identity, he knows that is who he is, and he wants or needs us to know it too. And it is this identity of being the Son of God that gets him crucified. Who he is so threatening to others that they needed to kill him. And though others may hate us for who we are to God is never threatening. And who does God say we are? Having listened to Libby's sermons over the last couple of years, I think we all should know this answer by now. We are all beloved children of God. Does that mean we don't have to worry about what God thinks of us? I don't think so. I think we can always work harder to earn that unearnable, still given to us no matter what identity, what we do identity, that of a beloved child of God. In the Middle East, people are being tortured and killed for believing in Jesus as the Messiah. And it seems people are always being killed for their religious identities, no matter what they may be. But I truly believe if everyone in the world believed in this identity, and all peoples, as beloved children of God, it would be a lot harder to kill each other. This is a mutual relationship in a couple of ways. Not only ours with God and God with us, but ours with others and others with us. At Amazing Grace Camp this week, I had the privilege of being there for one night, and at the campfire that evening, the counselors were putting on a great skit and asking the campers to participate. In one skit, they were given different roles to play. One was, it's kind of unusual, one was a door, one was a cash register, one was a toilet, one was an air freshener, and one was a table. Matthew, one of the campers, was asked to play the part of the table and was told to get on all fours, and when the counselor touched his back, he was supposed to say, "I'm a table." So the skit is going along well, and the counselor touches Matthew's back and he shouts, "I'm a table." And we're like, "Great job, Matthew." But after the skit ends and the next skit starts and we're having our s'mores later and the kids are running around later, Matthew is still shouting, "I'm a table." Judd Phelps turns to me and says, "I guess he doesn't have an identity crisis anymore." It was great to see. But later I thought, I bet he'd rather be known at school as the kid who was a table than the one whose father was in jail. I think he may want to shout at the kids, "Who you say I am is not who I really am. I'm a table." A much less dangerous identity to have than a child of the incarcerated. Throughout the week, Amazing Grace Camp was trying to show Matthew that his most important identity is that of being a beloved child of God, and to show him and all the other children and all of us that God is with us today and every day, loving us and hoping we grasp this identity with both hands and hold on for dear life. We may be facing changes in our outward identities, scary ones like no longer being someone's child because both of your parents have died, or not being someone's wife anymore due to divorce or death, or losing your identity in the workforce due to job loss. But there are wonderful changes in identity too, like becoming a husband, becoming a mother, becoming the boss, or a teacher, or a pastor. But there is one unchanging identity we have, that of a beloved child of God. God's love never changes. And knowing that Jesus is the Messiah is knowledge that should lead us to live lives that honor Jesus, ourselves, and others every day, showing our true colors as Christians and not only seeing Jesus as the Christ, but being able to see that we are all beloved children of God. So if you're like me, trying to figure out who you are, no matter what age you are, let's try to act as though we know straight from the heart of God who we are, who Jesus is, and who the other is. In closing, remember, who does God say you are? What about the person sitting next to you? Who does God say they are? Right, a beloved child of God. And finally, remember Jesus asking us, who do you say I am? Let's try to live our lives as Christians, to see the face of Christ in each other, and as members of the body of Christ, no matter what our other roles may be. Amen.